Good morning. Welcome to Christian Outreach Center's round number
dose
two. For those of you who are not bilingual, round number two of our Sunday morning video series. Message,
whatever recording. We're calling it these days. Yes,
yeah, we wish we could be with you in person, but unfortunately we're here behind a table at the church and coming to you on YouTube or on Facebook or however you're watching this, on our website cocfamily.com. And we've been talking this will be our second week, so our second installment of kind of this idea of walking, being people of peace and presence, walking in the peace of God, walking in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but essentially and particularly the peace of God.
Yes.
And as we said earlier, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace. Walking in God's peace, walking in that fullness of life. Yes. You were talking on our, if you watched our Wednesday night video, Pastor Stephen was talking about just the fullness of that life of God. And and that's where that's found, is in His presence and in Him. And so in this time during the 2020 COVID uprising, as we're calling it, or I guess I'm not.
You're
we,
calling.
I'm calling
You're
it.
Calling the COVID uprising.
As we're all held hostage by this thing that we're praying to be deceased quickly and end, and let us go back to our lives. We do miss you guys and wish we could be with you in person, and hopefully soon that will happen. But until such time, but how do we manage crises like these? How do we walk through when we get a bad report from the doctor? How do we walk through when our children maybe aren't turning out how we've parented them to be, and when we're frustrated with that? How do we, when the bank is knocking on our door saying we need more payments and we don't have those payments, how do we stay in peace? How, when life throws everything that life has to throw at us, how do we see the things of God are not dependent on the things of the world? There's a good point for you out there. The things of God, if the things of God in my heart are dependent on the things in the world going right, then I don't know that I've really tapped into an eternal, omnipotent power source. Maybe I think we talked about last time, I think it was last Sunday, these are all kind of blending together, but talking about our peace really being shaken in times like this, and it could often be that it's because it was founded on the wrong thing. And maybe what I thought was the peace of God was really the peace of everything's going all right today. And it feels like the peace of God because I love God and whatever. And sometimes when we're shaken, not even sometimes, often, we get to see what's really inside of us. And the blessing in this is that all of the apostles walked through trials and sufferings and martyrdom, almost every one of them. The early church walking through plagues, walking through persecution, and they can attest, as you can see in the scriptures, that the things of God are not hinging on everything going right in your life. They're not hinging on perfect circumstances.
That's good.
So that's what we're tapping into, is this is this unshakable kingdom, this eternal kingdom of God, this eternal peace of God. And how do we walk as people of peace and of presence? And today Pastor Stephen is going to share some thoughts on that. And
Because definitely that's our role in this. If you're wondering, you know, what's my role in all this? It's you choosing to be a person of peace.
That's
you
good.
Choosing to be a person of God's presence. That's your role.
Wait, so I don't have to just wait to see if I am peaceful? I can choose?
You can choose.
You can choose
to be peaceful, definitely.
It's
and so
true.
And so I love how, if you've watched our Wednesday night video or if you watched our last Sunday's video, a lot of what we're going to be talking about today is going to connect to both of those key things. So anyway, I just want to do a quick review. Something that Kirk had asked me to address last week was just, what's the difference between responding and reacting?
So good.
And something that I said in that video is that responding requires margin in your life, and margin to be able to plan. Margin to be able to assess. And that's how you make responses. You plan and you assess, but it's not for the sake of more control, because what we're going to find out today, that really our big issue with peace in our lives and whether we experience peace or not has a lot to do with the amount of control that we think we have over our lives. And so we're going to talk a lot today about really control and our need, our ultimate need for surrender or to surrender that control. And so something that we talked briefly about, and it was a thought that I had when Kirk was sharing last week, is that our sense of peace is heavily intertwined with our sense of control. If you've ever heard the word peace of mind, right? Peace of mind, feeling, I just have a peace of mind, right? Well, a lot of that is related to our sense of control, meaning what I'm controlling, if what I'm controlling or what I think I'm controlling, if all that stuff is operating how I think it should be operating, well, then I can be at peace. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, with COVID-19 and anything else that you think you're trying to control right now, is that stuff is all external. On your best day, you and I, on our best day, we can at best control
Me.
And that's the reality. And so what we're going to be talking today is about control and getting to a point of...
Or the illusion of control.
The illusion of control, definitely. Because I'm going to argue this. This is going to be a key point today. It's that to walk in true peace, okay, not false peace, to walk in true peace, I must surrender control to God.
Wow, that's good.
And that's the only way to do it. And if there's any area for me, if there's any area in my life that starts to stir up feelings of anxiety, which was a lot what we talked about last week, any area of my life that's stirring up feelings of anxiety, that's an indicator for me that that's an area of my life that I haven't given over fully to God.
Wow, that's good. So you're saying when a subject comes up, when an issue comes up, when I start when I find that I'm starting to get anxious feelings, I can stop and I can pause and reflect, what am I thinking
Alert.
About right now? And that should be a big red flag that whatever I happen to catch myself thinking about at that moment that's bringing up anxiety, what you're saying is that's probably an area in my life that I haven't surrendered to God, that I'm still trying to maintain control and manipulate.
Exactly.
I don't know if I like that or not.
I don't think human nature likes that. And that's why we don't tend to like that. And our human nature, our human nature is to want to control things.
We do, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
It seems like it's been a fight that we've been having ever since the garden.
Yes. And so when that happens, when I start to feel anxious, when I start to recognize, oh, wait, this is an area I'm not controlling. Now that's where it's decision time. How am I going to respond to this? You know, my response should be repentance. My response in that situation, when I start to sense anxiety and realize that this is something that I haven't given to you, God, that's an opportunity for me to repent and say, Lord, I'm turning from this and my illusion of control, and I'm turning toward you.
Wow.
Not you, but turning toward God. And that's we talked about that on Wednesday. Because otherwise, if we don't repent, well, then chances are we're going to do what we like to do. We're going to look for something to blame in those situations, and a lot of times God's going to bear the brunt of our blame. And that's no good. And so my response should be repentance, not blaming God for what we like to blame God for not doing things the way we think he should do them.
Right.
And that's a key right now. And so, because we're finding out pretty quickly what, you know, something like this makes you find out pretty quickly what you've been putting your faith in.
And last
week in my thoughts, I was thinking, you know, like there's this big boulder of control for a lot of us that just got kicked over or rolled over. And there was some pretty nasty stuff hiding underneath that boulder of control. And we were building a lot of our peace on this foundation of what we had control over. And that's not a firm foundation of anything.
And I really feel like success in the Christian walk.
Yeah.
Just this is kind of a side issue, but how we respond in times of shaking like this,
and or
when God exposes those things in our life, and often times of shaking tends to be one of the, like Steve just said, that boulder gets knocked out of the way, and we get to see what's in there. How mm-hmm. we respond to that determines how well we walk out this Christ life and how well we walk in the fullness of that.
Yes.
And sometimes mm-hmm. like it feels like, I mean, we're saying words like repent. We're saying words like lordship. We're saying words like, you know, control. And like these sound like intense words, and they certainly are. Mm-hmm. But it's like we said on our Wednesday night thing, it's because it's the blessed life. God knows yes. that we aren't built to control things. Mm-hmm. And yet we'll spend mm-hmm. our lives, and we'll spend our emotional energy, and we'll spend our mental man. Energy,
yes.
and we'll end up with all kinds of phobias and anxieties and isms.
Ulcers. And
exactly. Because we're trying to play the role of God.
Yes.
And we would never Oof. Say it like Oof. That. I would never.
We
would
don't never, admit to that, do we?
I would
we?
Never yes. call you up and be like, hey, dude, guess what I'm doing today? I'm yes. trying to play God. Yes. We don't do it like that.
Yeah. Yep.
We do it in so many subtle ways.
Yes, exactly.
Which is why it takes maybe a crisis like this, or maybe something else happening in our life where we stop and pause mm-hmm. and reflect a little bit and go, wow, maybe mm-hmm. maybe this is a little out of order in my life.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed.
Indeed. That's good. Well, we're going to be reading bits and pieces from Exodus 32 today. And so I encourage you, if you have your Bible or a Bible app, to turn to Exodus 32. And we're going to be looking at an interesting passage, at least a passage that I always found to be interesting growing up. It's the golden calf passage. Mm. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with that story or not, but I'll try and give you just a little bit of context, because what's happened is the Israelites have been delivered from the Egyptians. They've crossed through the Red Sea, and now they're in the desert, and God has just delivered them from mm-hmm. one of the most powerful forces mm-hmm. in the world. During that time was the Egyptian world. That was the power to be mm-hmm. in that time frame. And so God has done this amazing thing where he's delivered them from that. Now he's got Moses up on the mountain mm-hmm. with him, and he's giving Moses the Ten Commandments, if you can remember that Charlton Heston movie scene and everything like that. And there's smoke, and there's this awesome presence, and Moses is having this awesome interaction. And the Israelites down at the base of the mountain have decided, well, we know God just delivered us from the Egyptians, that powerful army. We know he's on this mountain talking to Moses right now, but we're going to go ahead and come up with making our own God today.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you read in there, you're going to find that this Moses guy is a long time in coming down.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Several weeks. Yes.
Pause right there.
Oofta.
I don't know if you're already tuning into where I'm going with this. How many times have we short-circuited the plans of God in our life because we felt the timetable was off?
Mm.
Wow.
Ouch.
Ouch.
That's
just
good.
That one, say it like, if you're watching the video, this is worth the price of admission today. Just I felt the Holy Spirit just nudging that mm-hmm. in my heart right now, that how many good intentions and just wanting to follow God, but God, if my assessment of the situation is, if I was God, this would have happened mm-hmm. by now. Mm-hmm. They're saying, this fellow Moses, he's a long time in coming.
Yes, yes.
I think we're going to take matters into our own hand. Don't let your idea of the timetable of how God should work derail you from an otherwise beautiful walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. Let God's timetable be your timetable.
And yeah. definitely. So let's take a look at the text. This is going to be verses 1 and 2 of Exodus chapter 32. And it reads, and you've already heard Kirk say this, when the people saw that Moses was so long mm-hmm. in coming down from the mountain, mm-hmm. they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't even know what's happened to him. Mm-hmm. Right? That's their right. reaction right there. And I love what you said about mm-hmm. how when things don't happen on our timetable.
Yeah.
Hmm. Hmm.
That's pretty powerful. Hmm.
In reference to the rest of the universe and the rest of the world and all right. of humanity, how important is your timetable that you're working on?
Not so much.
I've only been around for about 38 years. So, yeah, my timetable
yep.
is a drop in the bucket. Mm-hmm. Let that be a good lesson for me. And mm-hmm. and I think it's so ridiculous, okay, I think it's so ridiculous that the Israelites are acting this way, that they're going, okay, God just delivered us from the Red Sea, but now come make us gods, like make us something that we can worship, right? And but the reality is, like, I know it sounds ridiculous, but the reality is we have this tendency to do the same thing, because what they're going to do is they're going to go and build this golden calf. Now, did you make a golden calf today?
I did not.
No, no. But I want to show you, or I'm hoping that we can show you kind of through this conversation, that a lot of what we try to control is a form of idolatry in our lives. And so anyway, they what they found out in this is God is pretty powerful. Okay? But he's definitely not something they can control.
That's good.
And so they look to create something that they can control now. They realize pretty quickly that God is powerful. I mean, they know the plagues that happened to the Egyptians. They know the Red Sea just happened, okay? They know he's pretty powerful. But what they can't reconcile is the fact that they can't control God. And so they start looking for something that they can control. And that's in our hearts, unfortunately, is this need to be in control. And when things don't go our way, we put a lot of stock in the things that we can create and the things that we can control. When we feel like our lives are out of control, we start grasping for anything that we feel we can have control over.
That's good.
Like toilet paper. We're grasping for what can I control
in this scenario,
in an attempt to try to quench our fears. And that's not the right response.
So we sense anxiety, we sense that we're out of control, and instead of going to the source of peace, we try to gain control over a scenario and end up creating even more anxiety in our life.
Exactly. That's really well said. Definitely. Oofta.
Well, thank you.
Oofta. Yes. No, I like that a lot. Now, here's the deal. I want you to kind of put yourself in, not necessarily the Israelite shoes, but put yourself in context here right now. And I want you to really think to yourself, right? And I asked these questions last week, like what are areas in your life that you haven't fully surrendered to God? What are things in your life that feel out of control and are now, it's a reality to you that you can't control those things? And I would encourage you to think about those things, but not think about them in the sense that it's going to give you anxiety and give you ulcers. Think about, how can I give this over to God? Because the issue is going to be surrender. I'm going to say it again. The issue is going to be surrender, and surrender is a really important key to all of this. I want to point out something else in the passage. And so the Israelites, so they make the golden calf, and Moses is coming down from the mountain, and Joshua has been kind of Moses's lookout guy, kind of halfway down the mountain, and Moses meets up with Joshua, and they're on their way down, and they hear something in the camp. And I want you to look at verses. We're going to pick up in verse 17 of Exodus 32. Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, and he said to Moses, "There's the sound of war in the camp." And Moses replied, "No, it's not the sound of victory, and it's not the sound of defeat." And I thought of something with that passage, and I want you to kind of follow with me in this, is that in our lives, in between victories and in between defeats, we have this gap of just kind of smooth sailing, so to speak. In between victory and defeat, you've got this gap. And a lot of times it's in our lives during that gap between victory and defeat that we have this tendency to become self-reliant people.
Guys, that's good.
So that's in between victory and in between defeat, so Moses comes down and he's like, it's not victory and it's not defeat that you hear. It's the gap. It's the mediocrity. It's the complacency. Yeah. It's the self-preservation fumes that you've been running on since your last victory, leading to your next defeat. Unfortunately, you are running on the fumes of self-reliance.
Wow.
At least I know that's true in my life.
So we know how to handle things mm-hmm. when we're in victory. We celebrate and, yes. and thank you, Jesus, and God got us through and he came through for us, and we celebrate those things. And we even know how to sometimes how to walk through defeat. Okay, yes. Well, we pick ourselves up, we dust ourselves off. As you said earlier, yeah. we repent, we bring in help, you know, we get a counselor of friends around us, we go, you know, meet with our pastor, whatever it is, and we walk through defeat mm-hmm. and we get back up again. But it's, I like that. It's the in between. It's in yeah. that lull, it's mm-hmm. in that gap where we can be tricked into thinking things are great. And that's where that false sense of peace that we were talking about.
It sure is. Wow. Which is why we find ourselves returning to that state. Mm. Yeah. We find ourselves going back to that state. Oh, now it feels peace again.
Right.
But it's an illusion. It's false peace. Yep. Don't buy into it one second. Because it's in those moments we decide maybe we don't need God.
Mm-hmm. We would never say it like that.
No. But we decide we don't need God mm-hmm. in those moments until... We need God again.
And that doesn't lead to the full mm-hmm. life.
No, it does not.
It leads to us yes. being disillusioned with God.
Yes.
We think that he's not as, mm-hmm. as good of character as we think he is. We've heard
That's
about
good.
It.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. this whole while I've just been saying I love God, but I've really been relying on my own sense of peace about life and things. I haven't been pursuing him. I haven't been seeking his face. I haven't mm. been dwelling in his word. Mm-hmm. I haven't been listening to his voice and walking in his mm. commandments. Mm-hmm. But of course I love God, but I'm really relying on me.
Yes.
And then the cracks begin to form in the foundation. Mm-hmm. And, wow, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, because the reality is, at least I know this to be true for me though, is we want to be God in our lives mm. more than we'd like to admit. I mean, mm. we really do. Or at least we want to mm. control God more right. than we'd like right. to admit. And we'll get away with it, though. We'll say, we want you to be in control mm-hmm. just as long as you don't control me. God, we want you to be in control just as long as you do things mm-hmm. my way. Right. God, we want you to be right. in control,
right.
except, well, we want you to do mm-hmm. it how we want right. to call this. You know, actually, God, we want to be in control. Like, yeah. like that's what we yeah. get on that cycle.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And so, and it's, that's what the Israelites are doing in Exodus 32, is they mm-hmm. realize they can't control God. And so now they're going to seek to create something that they can control. And it's interesting though, because you might think about it like this, like, well, why even create the golden calf then, mm. right? Like, why even bother with that? You know, why not just mm-hmm. become atheists then? Mm-hmm. Like, why not just walk away from God, you know, or a belief in God completely in that? And the reality is, at the end of the day, we still need someone to blame. Okay? Mm. We at yeah. the end of the day, as much as I want to be in control, mm-hmm. I still need a safety valve of being able to blame somebody else other mm-hmm. than myself. And mm-hmm. so create a golden calf, because yeah. at least I created it. It can do things for me, but at least if it doesn't do things for me, mm-hmm. well, then I have something to blame
yeah.
other than me in that moment. And we like, yeah. at times, we like to have God around, okay? When we're going through a hard time, and maybe he'll bail us out and then it'll be great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had God around.
Sure.
Or maybe he won't bail us out and, well, then we blame him. Yay, we had God around. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and it's mm-hmm. just us trying to control God more than we'd like to admit. Mm-hmm.
And that it's a scary place for us to let God really be God. As we were talking just in the section just a little bit yes. earlier, I thought of one of my favorite quotes from the Chronicles of Narnia. I had to look it up quick. And it's it says, Aslan is a lion. Talking about Aslan, the lion who mm-hmm. in that movie represents Christ. Aslan is a lion, the lion, the great lion. Ooh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you.
Oh my.
We want a safe God.
Yes.
Course he isn't safe. He's going to do things that we don't like. He's going to cause us to surrender parts of our life that we want to keep control. Of course, he isn't safe,
yes,
but he is good.
Yes. Oofta. That's good. That's good. Definitely. All right. So I'm going to ask some tough questions that I want us all, he and I and you, to be processing in ourselves, right? And so I've already asked, you know, what are areas in my life that I haven't fully surrendered to God? And then how can I surrender those areas to God, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but think about this question for me just for a moment. When God doesn't do things just how you want him to, who or what do you look to then in those moments to bring you a sense of peace? Because you may not make a golden calf, but that's a golden calf right there, whatever that thought is. And we talked about this even in our Wednesday video, is it's this, you know, when God doesn't do things just how you want him to, we have this tendency to go looking for someone or something that's going to bring us peace then, because we're unexperiencing peace when God, it seems like God isn't answering my prayer, okay? God always answers your prayer. Okay, he just doesn't always give you the answer you're looking for. Okay, and so when he doesn't do those things on our timeline, or how we want him to do it, okay, or through the means that we think he should operate through, it's in those moments, right, we go looking to someone or something else, and we've gotta cut that off. Okay, that thing is an idol. And I know I shared this quote on Wednesday night, but an idol's anything, this is from Tim Keller, an idol's anything more fundamental than God to your happiness, your meaning in life, or your identity.
Wow, that's so good.
And so what is it that you're looking for in those moments when you feel like things are out of control? Now, I've said a lot about surrender. I've said a lot about control, and I asked Kirk to kind of touch in a little bit about, you know, what would be the process. So if my goal is surrender, Kirk, right? So surrender's the answer. But what in the world does that look
what
like?
Is that, what does that really mean?
What does that mean?
We talk about that a lot, but what does surrender really mean? I can think of a number of times in my life, so many times when I first got saved, when I first gave my life to Christ, and it's a process we call sanctification, and hopefully we're still on that boat.
Yes,
right,
always,
always. But it seems like when we first come to Christ, there's a lot of room in the boat for getting stuff out of there, and unfortunately, there keeps on being more stuff that crops up. But I remember different times where I would just be so in love with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit would nudge something in my heart and say, "Hey, buddy, this thing isn't right in there. You can't continue to keep doing something that is sin, or hanging on to something that's unholy, or you know, maybe a grudge or unforgiveness in our heart, or anger, or some bitterness, or jealousy, or I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And each one of us is in a different spot. And so, when we're confronted with that, then we go, "All right, what do I do with this? I'm uncomfortable right now. My life is miserable, and it's a holy misery, and that's a great place to be." It really is. That's how the Holy Spirit. It's not all roses and perfume, is it? It's uncomfortable. It's this tension of the flesh and the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And we've had to walk through those. And I hope that we're still walking through that. God's still putting his finger on. That's what this whole message is about today. But you said when those things crop up in our life, and it didn't go on my timetable, it didn't happen the way I wanted to, where do I go for peace? I don't want to run to a calf. I don't want to make an idol. I don't want to find a sense of false peace. So I want to always turn my heart back to the goodness of God and just say, "God, you are so good." So that's number one, is just always keeping before me that God is good. He's not going to demand something of me that is going to be good that I'm going to let go to him. He's good. And so if he's calling me to let go of something, I've got to trust that he's got a reason for that.
Yes.
I got to know that he's good.
Amen.
So how do I surrender really quickly? confess it, admit it, bring it to the light. You see, things in the dark tend to flourish.
Yep.
And maybe call a friend. Maybe bring someone else in. Talk to them, someone that you can trust, and just say, hey, I've really been struggling with this. I'm just wondering if maybe you could pray with me, and just do that it often.
Mm-hmm.
We're out of time for today, unfortunately. Yep. We can't wait to be back together with you, and so we don't have to end these so early. But
definitely.
We love you guys, and hopefully you took something away from this today.